Hi folks, this podcast was recorded earlier this evening with Ukrainian government MP and head of the Permanent Assembly for the Council of Europe, Maria Mezentseva. And Maria, who, if you were a listener for a while, you'll know she's joined us a few times to talk about the situation leading up to and indeed now taking place on the ground in Ukraine. She joined us from the outskirts of Kiev. I am putting it out to everyone now because obviously the situation is that I think the more people who hear about what's happening, the better. But I would please ask you, if you're listening to these and you think that they're worthwhile and you think you get something from them or you think you'd like to support the work or you don't hate me, that you would join us on Patreon. It's the only way we pay our bills. We don't have ads, we don't have sponsors, and you get these podcasts without this plea, by the way, as well as a few other exclusive posts, literally hundreds of them. It's patreon.com/tortoiseshack, and I know it feels wrong to be asking for money at this time, but it literally pays the bills here. This is how pay light heat and roof overhead. So it's patreon.com/tortoiseshack. Hope you listen to my conversation with Maria and hope some of you will support the work that we do. Thank you. Hello and welcome to the Echo Chamber podcast. My name is Tony Groves and this is a conversation I recorded a few minutes ago with Ukrainian government MP Maria Mezentseva. Maria, as you will know if you're listening to this for a while, is head of the assembly for the permanent assembly, the Council of Europe, who today voted to remove Russia. Maria explains that in this call. She also talks about some of the events that have taken place in the last 24, 48 hours, the lack of sleep. And she describes the entire situation currently as tired but inspired. You can probably tell from my voice, I'm more fearful than she is, but nonetheless, I think it's really good that we got to have this conversation. One word of caution: this was recorded via phone because Maria was currently in an area where there wasn't very good Wi-Fi. There was no Wi-Fi. She was working on a 3G network, so we had to piggyback on that. So the audio is a little bit ropier than I'd like, but I do think it's an important to continue to get these voices out there and have those conversations. And I'm grateful that Maria continues to talk to us here. Have a listen. Thanks for your support. You know, I think overwhelmingly I've heard a lot of nonsense about people on the left are sitting on their hands because Russia X and Russia Y, but I don't believe it. I actually don't believe it. I think we're much more nuanced than that. When people are dying, when sovereign nations are invaded, we're not the type of people who actually just pretend that ideology excuses everything. And I think it's why it's important that even if I may not, myself and Maria met via her climate action work, but that doesn't mean that I share necessarily her views on capitalism. But nonetheless, I think it's really important we continue to have those conversations. Have a listen. Again, if you can, add your voice to whatever protests are taking place. Donate to the Ukrainian Red Cross. Make sure you support those in need now. Thanks for the support. Enjoy. I'll get it started.
No worries.
I'm delighted to be joined on the line by Maria Mezentseva, who Maria has been on the podcast several times, as listeners will be aware. She is Maria. You're currently still in Kiev, yes?
I am at the outskirts of the capital. Yes. Well, for the reason of security, and not only there's a lot of things to be done across the country. So I can say, if I'm asked how I am tired, but inspired, as well as all of my colleagues. Tired but inspired. There was a recent video from President Zelensky on the social media to counter the is fake, that, you know, president has left, also with the government, the prime minister, members of parliament are abroad. We are not. We are on the spot. We're helping locally. We're helping diplomatically. And we are helping the army also to be strong, not only by with arms, but also emotionally. And so many people are getting enrolled into this self-defense local initiatives, this great law which we have recently passed. Now, some regions of Kiev that were targeted today, which is one of them called Opolon, people were getting locally some weapons and guns for safety and self-protection. We are seeing an inspiration among everyone to those, let's say, who can't hold arms, but they can do more on the level of fighting disinformation or fighting some new interesting strategies of the Russian army. Say, these crosses on the roads, you know, where they're marked by a cross. It can be green, red, white, but it marks targets. Moreover, on civilian houses and blockhouses, we can also see some red things which remind a small alarm, but it is also for identifying for a missile where to shoot. Therefore, that is also very helpful that the people, the community is engaged, sending the signals to the police and are trying to unreveal this stuff. But I can tell you, me myself, friends, relatives, back in Kharkiv, colleagues in Kiev, we have been across Ukraine. We've been sleeping in the shelters and safe spaces underground for these two nights. Almost. So that's quite. You know, it does affect you psychologically. But you know, once you hear great news, like for instance, we've targeted this, like 8 planes, 300 soldiers. This, that, it's all done with we're a very strong army, very professional one, but we are also fighting one of the strongest one, and with the support of international community. Like I'm hearing now, France is delivering weapons for us. Never happened before. We're very thankful to Ireland for visa-free for Ukrainian citizens. That's a question we were posing to various countries basically Ireland was the first one to respond, and it made a great positive response from the society. Not only that, you know, in terms of also humanitarian aid. We have women and children who are traveling across Ukraine, disabled people and elderly people. Well, we all know now how to behave in the wartime. No one knew it could happen again since 40s of the previous century during the Second World War, where Kyiv was bombarded by Nazi regime. Now it is bombarded by another tragic regime of Mr. Putin. And we have witnessed such a great response also from Russian society, showing that Russia is not equal to Putin. People are going out to the streets. Artists, singers, famous influencers are taking off their humor programs and TV shows out of the broadcast of Russian TV channels. They're recording public support. They're trying to reach out, and we're also trying to reach out to them. That, you know, it's not.
Maria, I've actually seen. People can only be described as celebrities in St. Petersburg and in Moscow who were carrying out some of, who were doing some of these, you know, attending these rallies, which was really, really encouraging to see.
I don't know, abruption on the line, yeah.
No, I was saying that we've seen people march in St. Petersburg, we've seen people in Russia, because there is a lot of people who have, you know, Ukrainian, either, if they're either Ukrainian citizens or they have a Ukrainian family within Russia, and they are trying to stand up for their people. But unfortunately, but like the bloodshed is just tragic. I mean,
yeah, it is.
It's just, I can't even begin to explain to listeners that, like, I think the last thing I saw was 147 people dead already. It's possibly gone beyond that since the last time.
Yeah, it's more. I can say that on the Russian side, it's 3,000 soldiers. We have way more or less losses than this. But if I'm careful with the numbers, but Russian army never had such losses for, I don't know, since probably the fall of the Soviet Union. And this is where the blitzkrieg should have happened, but it hasn't. And that's why Putin is now trying to mingle around, you know. Yeah, I'm the first one to offer you peace talks, but you never offered us a peace under international law. You never tried to follow. Moreover, today I think is a very symbolic day for democracy, human rights. We're getting rid, if I may put it very, very easily, from Russia in the Council of Europe, in the Parliamentary Assembly of the Council of Europe. The authorities will be notified shortly. If they wouldn't want to leave themselves, then they will be expelled automatically. And, you know, that's the step one. We have sanctions which are going further on the US side, on the EU side. They're quite harsh. We have heard from Mr. Scholz, the Chancellor of Germany, on the possible moves on Lyft and Swift payment system, and many other things on a positive track have happened. But we do not want to lose our territories. We want to be strong. We want to show that, you know, we are ready to fight back. We are ready to fight for the whole continent, if I may say so. Mm. And this is where the strength of the nation is very transparent. Unprecedented support of international society. And, you know, we have some, we were reached out by diaspora, by different friends from across the world, politicians, artists, you know, regular people from different countries. How can we help? How can we spread the information, or how can we fight disinformation? We've launched several campaigns. One is for providing the possibility to donate for Ukrainian army. You know,
I have the details for that, and we can absolutely link people to who's interested in supporting. But I will ask you, Maria, if it's okay, that when you say that President Putin has suggested some sort of peace talks. It seems,
and immediately he doesn't. And immediately, you know, he says, no, I'm not going to talk to the president. Sorry for interrupting you, but no. This is funny. I'm not going to talk neither to the president nor to the government or obviously parliamentarians. I'd rather talk to the Ukrainian army. You are more adequate than the others. I want to see how Putin would talk to the Ukrainian army. I think he has no chance to, you know, to have even a second of this talk. That would not be possible, because he thinks that it can be an element to overthrow the powers in Kiev. That's why we see this movement closer to the Kiev, trying to get it into the circle, trying to overthrow as a final target, overthrow the power and take over with maybe it was Yanukovych or maybe it was this his puppet politicians who left Ukraine back in 2014. They were belonging to the party of the regions, the party of Yanukovych, who was represented by Yanukovych. They fled the country because they were forced to by the people. They did not meet any kinds of patriotism, and they were just like outsiders at the time. But for the reasons, I think there is a sort of in this formula or in this big plan of Putin is something of this kind. Over territories.
Maria, I think you're, a lot of people have speculated that his plan. And maybe it's unfair, but the speculation is that his plan is obviously to overthrow the government. It could mean, you know, let's be honest, let's tell the truth here. Your president could be, his life is at risk if this happens. And then he may put in a government that is effectively in control of the Kremlin. So that is very much a risk here. I know
the most important word is might. Might. We will do everything possible to vanish this possibility of might.
I want to see an end to the bloodshed and an end to the fighting, but it does seem I'm hearing reports of, you know, more planes shot, Russian planes taken down. I'm hearing reports of the tragedy yesterday of I'm going to mispronounce it, Yemeni Island, where 13 people were killed, has been retaken today. I don't know if you can confirm that, but
I can. Unfortunately, I can. When you watch the video or the recording of when the Russian Navy saying like, "We are the Russian Navy, please, get rid of the weapons and surrender," and he's saying a swearing word. We're not gonna F word surrender F word Russian Navy, etc. So, you know, until the last moment of life, these ladies and these guys, because we have 34,000 women in the Ukrainian army. this is just it brings the whole country a sense of living. We understand that if they can do it in this manner and they give their life for that, we don't have any reason or right to let down Ukrainian army, which fights every second of their life 24/7. We can't be saying, "Oh, I'm tired, I had just 1 hour of sleep today, etc., etc. I haven't eaten today, by the way. I just remembered. I haven't eaten. I just had an espresso, and I haven't. I cannot yell at this time. I know that there are people who are suffering way more because they're doing also way more to defend us. And I also would like to recall international society at this important moment to, possibly use this opportunity and be very, very speedy in so-called closing the airspace, shutting down the possibilities of the missiles reaching out from the territories controlled by Russia, but also, they have reached us here in the independent Ukraine. That might have not happened because, there's also six very, very scary, well, not scary, but ships in the Black Sea, which you might remember they were targeting the Middle East, by the way. A technical possibility of that kind. Even worse, I just remembered, and what I want to tell you in the end, we might have a nuclear disaster because they took over Chernobyl spot. We didn't have a fight there because we understand the security of people of Europe prevails. We can't put our, any egoistic ambitions here. But that's something we want to take over again. And as a last point, I'm seeing how brave mayors of different cities are, whom I know as friends. I know how my relatives were watching up in the north in Chernihiv region, 30 tanks crossing their garden, you know, where they grow potatoes and apples and and things like that. It was like, gosh, they really hoped there was a Ukrainian tanks, but then we saw that there is a special markation of white Z letter. There is no flags, but when you know when there were fights and battles, and we could see that the soldiers are in Russian uniform. So you can't go back on saying that again. It's a rebels coming from the occupied temporary occupied territories, things like that. But they are playing really nasty. They're now we can distinguish them. They put red tape on themselves, white or red tape, and these markations are also available now for us. As a point of information.
Maria, last thing I want to ask you though about Kiev is that I heard the Russian special forces have been deployed to the outskirts of the city. They are serious soldiers. They are very dangerous people, and there's talk of up to 2,000 of them. The security of the capital must be a big concern to you and your government.
Well, I can't confirm a figure of 2,000. Okay, so not to give you any false information, I haven't seen that yet in official statements of the Joint Forces of Defense. However, we have seen partially them in the smaller and larger cities, different regions. Some of them, you know, they are just surrendering. Some are wounded. Ukrainian doctors are healing them. Some are just saying that they were told that they're here to take people out of dangerous zones. You know, so again, this random stories from back in 2014 and 8 years of war, like we've been lost. We thought we were here for this operation and it was mixed, et cetera, et cetera. But, The hostages are there, and we know that there was a big battalion of like 30 people or something on the Russian side. They were taken. They just surrendered. They understood that. I think Putin didn't count on the fact that our spirit and army is that strong. His plan was to surrender so that we surrender on a day one. You know.
Yeah.
Okay, guys, let's go for peace talks. Let's negotiate. No. The freedom, our freedom is not negotiable. Our independence and territorial integrity in its international borders is not negotiable. While we are talking, I've received a call from my cousin. He's serving right now in Donbass area, the territories which are under Ukrainian control. I'm wondering what he wants to tell me. So
yeah.
At this point, I highly appreciate that you can cover
Maria
what is happening
thank
here.
Thank you so much for your time. You go and speak to your cousin and I can't tell you, look, the Irish audience are listening, people that do care, and I do think I just mind yourself and try to get some sleep. Please try to get some sleep and have something to eat. It's good. Yeah. It's good to talk to you, and hopefully we'll stay in touch very soon. Okay. Thank you so
Likewise.
Much.
Likewise, thank you very much for your support.
Thanks for listening, folks. Reminder: we have no ads, no sponsors. We rely entirely on listener support, and the only way we can do that is through Patreon. It's the price of a cup of coffee. It's the price of a fancy cup of coffee, nonetheless. But you know, I think you get bang for your buck. There's hundreds of exclusive content. And there's coverage here that I think you'll agree is worth chipping in for. It's patreon.com/tortoiseshack. I would really appreciate it. It would make all the difference if a few of you would chip in, because this helps keep the project free. It keeps it going. It keeps the mics on. We'll be back on Sunday with our live show as well. So if you are a patron, you'll get the link for that soon. Talk to you all very, very soon. Take care. Bye-bye.
Tony and Martin, Martin and Tony, speaking to interesting people only. It's the Echo Chamber. podcast. Subscribe now on Patreon.